I'd like to share this story often about the sage that took his disciple to the river. And in an effort to teach him wisdom and understanding and the need for God, the sage took his disciple's head by force and forced it into the water and proceeded to drown him. The disciple, in desperation, began to fight and gasp for air. But the sage kept holding him underwater. Now the disciple, not understanding what is happening, yields, thinking that this will stop any minute. But the sage continued to hold him underwater. Now the disciple becomes desperate and he begins to need air and begins to fight, but he becomes weak. He's losing control of the situation quickly. The sage, without any mercy, continues to hold the disciple's head underwater. And finally, that disciple gets an urge to breathe so strong, or he would die, that he fights the sage with all his power and all his might, overpowers him, and comes up from the water and begins to breathe and says to the sage in desperation, "Why are you trying to kill me?" And the sage says to him, "The day that you need God as much as you need air, you will look for him with all your might." We must look for the Lord on a daily basis as if we are looking for oxygen. How long can you hold your breath? 45 seconds? 60 seconds? Can you hold your breath for a minute and a half? Can you hold your breath for 3 minutes? How long can you go without God? The moment that you look for God, the same way you look for air. The moment you look for God, the same way you look for water, for food, for shelter, you will find him. The same way the deer panteth for water, so doth my soul panteth after you, O Lord. Our works now in this dispensation for the kingdom of God are not the results of the flesh. For the scriptures say that the flesh cannot glory in the presence of God. What does that mean? The flesh cannot manifest the attributes of the living God. Only the Spirit of God inside of you, who wants to live his life through you, only the Spirit of God, who carries the attributes of his person in you, can manifest his attributes through you, not the flesh. For no flesh can manifest the attributes of God. Only the Spirit of God living through you can manifest the attributes of God through you. After the living and the resurrected saints have been caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in our glorified bodies, we will sit at his table at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. There, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? The day of judgment, the day of the judgment seat of Christ. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The work that we're doing. What sort is it? Is it birthed of the Spirit of God? Is it birthed out of ego? Is it birthed out of flesh? Is it birthed because of religion? Is it birthed because of denomination? Is it birthed because during worship you found yourself suddenly in the presence of the living God and he gave you an assignment and that birthed the desire of your heart to preach the gospel? What you're doing for the kingdom, is it birthed of the Spirit of God? Or is it birthed because of religion? If any man's work abide, which means that he can sustain the fire of God, it was birth of the fire of God. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. From whom? From God himself. If any man's work shall be burned in the fire, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So the works that we're doing now do not save us. Only the work that was done on the cross at the end of the fifth dispensation, which ended in judgment of sin at Calvary. The work that was done on the cross by Messiah. The work that was done on the cross by the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the original rebellion of the world. That is the work that saves you. That is the work that births in you a new birth. That is the work that gives you the eternal spirit. That is the work that gives you access to the presence of God. That is the work that gives you salvation. That is the work that gives you your baptism, your assignments, your ministry, your guidance through life. That is the work that does everything. At the judgment seat of Christ, your works will be judged by the fire. By the fire that descended on the day of Pentecost. By the fire that sits right now on the top of your head. The fire of the Holy Ghost consumes the flesh. But the fire of the Holy Ghost is what gives you the light to burn in your lamps. That fire burns with the anointing oil that is placed in you. The judgment seat of Christ will come first. And every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, meaning if any man's work that he has done remains after the he has been put through the fire, through the purification of the fire, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward from God. In the meantime, there will be a manifestation and reign of the Antichrist on planet Earth, as we, the living and the resurrected saints of God, go through the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. Simultaneously, there will be a manifestation of an anti-Mashiach, anti-power, anti-Christ here on the earth. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul writes to them the second time. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Do not be deceived." Do not let anybody shake you mentally or trouble you in the flesh. Neither by spirit nor by word. Do not let anybody deceive you. Saying to you that that day of Christ is at hand. What is happening nowadays? Cults saying on May 21st, the day the end of the world is coming. Shirley MacLaine, the false prophetess of the occult, saying that the year 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar, begins a new age. That's a lie from Satan, the devil himself, from his agents, from those who channel demons that will escort them to burning hell forever. For those who practice the occult, for those who are involved with witchcraft and warlocks and all kinds of practices in the occult, including Harry Potter. I cannot stress this enough, how we run into Christians, so-called Christians, that watch these movies, that indulge in the Harry Potter series. Christians that place the Harry Potter pages in their Facebooks, yet they belong to the Assemblies of God, yet they dare to stand at the pulpit and preach the gospel. Actually, they're not even preaching the gospel. They are preaching a diluted message, a twisted message. I don't even believe that these people are born again. they couldn't possibly be. How could they possibly have the Spirit of the living God burning in their hearts? Like the disciples, when they ran into the Lord after the Lord resurrected on the road to Emmaus, and when he left them, they said to one another, didn't our hearts burn with fire? Didn't we know it was him? How could you possibly get involved in the occult and deal with demons that have fallen away from God and literally have come against God to deceive humanity? Why would you even come near the occult? Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The falling away in other translations is the catching away of the church. It's the catching away of the church. And then he says in verse 4 of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now if you turn with me to the book of Daniel, very quickly, chapter 9. Verse 27. When the rapture takes place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, 18, as described by the Apostle Paul, there will be a period of chaos, a season of chaos on planet Earth. That season of chaos will be followed by the tribulation. The first part of the tribulation. However, we do not know how long it will take between the rapture of the church and the beginning of the tribulation. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 48 hours. They need to act quickly. There's chaos in the world. They need to bring order. Martial law will be instituted. I was just watching a video from 1992 of Hurricane Andrew that hit South Florida. It looked like a nuclear bomb had gone off. Martial law was instituted, and people were looting everywhere. And I saw a little girl, she must have been 7 or 8 years old, with a real gun, with real bullets, sitting next to a sign, anybody looting in this property will be shot on sight. Catastrophe, and that was only a hurricane. Winds of 250 miles an hour. The same thing. Think of billions of people disappearing worldwide empty supermarkets, empty banks, airplanes crashing worldwide, satellites falling. Chaos. Martial law will have to be instituted immediately. However, we do not know how long it will take before the tribulation begins. And the tribulation begins at the signing of a contract between the Antichrist and Israel. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. I'll explain that in a second. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The tribulation begins when a covenant is confirmed with many for 1 week, for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. The Antichrist will allow Israel to build its temple on Mount Moriah. And Israel will begin its sacrifices once again. Everything is ready for the temple right now. Everything is ready. That temple can go up in a matter of 30 days. They have the equipment, they have the stones, they have the machinery, they have everything ready. They have the ark, they have the menorah, they have the table of showbread, they have the altar of sacrifice, they have the laver, they have the altar of incense, they have the gates, they have the gold, they have the trumpets, they have the garments for the high priests. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years later, the book of Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul tells us that he who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In the midst of this tribulation, 3.5 years later, the Antichrist himself will sit in the Holy of Holies and say, he is God. And he will ask to be worshipped, and those who do not worship him will have their heads cut off.